The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today is Wednesday, the second week of Easter. This is Father Stephen Reynolds, the pastor of St. Liz of Van Seton Catholic Church in Houston, Texas. You've probably seen people holding up signs at sporting events that say simply, John 3:16. It's a reference to the first verse of today's gospel. So here it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, one of the members of the Jewish Sanhedrin. They are conversing in a garden, probably the Garden of Gethsemane, where 3 years later, Jesus would spend the night in prayer after the Last Supper and before his arrest. Nicodemus is trying to figure out who Jesus is. Is he the Messiah? Nicodemus clearly has heard about Jesus' miracles. He may have even witnessed some of them. Nicodemus might have even been present when Jesus cast out the merchants from the temple. Nicodemus knew his scriptures and obviously saw signs in Jesus' words and deeds that indicated that he might indeed be the Messiah of Israel. Jesus uses this conversation to clarify his mission. He has not come to restore Israel as a nation, as a political unit. He has not come to reclaim the throne and crown of King David, at least not literally. He has not come to cast out the Romans, but to cast out sin and to open a way not to national restoration, but to forgiveness, redemption, and eternal life. Before speaking the words recorded in John 3:16, Jesus makes a veiled reference to his passion and death when he says to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." So Jesus connects these two facts, that he will be sacrificed, and that his death is a manifestation of God's love for all humanity. God wants us to share in eternal life. He does not want us to perish and be lost to an eternity in hell. And so he invites us to a life of faith, which began at our baptism. All of this makes evident that God loved us first, even after the fall of man, even after the disobedience at the time of Noah, and despite the fickle faith of the Israelites during the Exodus. God has loved his creation. He has loved humanity. He has loved you and me, and before any of us could ever love him. God's love calls for our correspondence. As Saint Thérèse of Lisieux liked to say, love is repaid by love alone. Let's remember that personal holiness is not grounded in the number of prayers that we say or the number of sins that we resist. Now, certainly, we must say no to sin. There's no holiness without it. Likewise, without prayer, we cannot grow in our relationship with God. But holiness is not rooted in these things alone. It is rooted first in love. By love, we don't mean merely an emotion or a feeling. Love is a decision. It's an act of the will, a movement of the heart, attaching ourselves to the will of God and all that he desires for our lives. That's love. It's a beautiful practice to begin our day by offering everything we will experience that day to God. We could simply say, "Lord, I offer you my whole day. I say yes in advance to whatever you send me. Please help me to be faithful." God bless you.